I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griffin. This is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 28 for those keeping track. And as we do every week, this episode has a theme, right, Audrey?
Right. The theme for this week is driving efficiencies.
Because inefficiencies equal lower profits. And what self-respecting seller wants that?
None, exactly. Okay, on Inside eBay, we talked to Alyssa Cutright. She's from the payments team, and she'll outline how the payments program will help make payments more efficient for eBay sellers.
Okay, all right, great. I love it. And the main story this week, we'll explore how third-party listing tools can help drive efficiencies in your business on eBay.
All that plus the buzz. What an efficient episode we have for you this week.
Yes, indeed. So, as Audrey says, coming up first, the buzz with Doug Smith.
Joining us now with the buzz is Doug Smith, dialing in remote from Temecula.
Hey, Audrey. It's been rainy here in Southern California. I've even had to wear a hoodie.
By the way, I'm back.
Thank God. Audrey, it's been,
What was that? What was that, Griff?
Nothing. Audrey, welcome back. How was the spa?
That was last time.
Oh.
This time, I took a comedy podcast script writing class.
That's very specific, Audrey. What did you learn?
You'll see when I write you out of the script, Dougie.
Ba-dump. All right, you two. Wait, is Alan back, by the way?
No, he's out for a bit, but that's why you have me for a couple more weeks, consolidating my power, Griff.
Yeah, he'll be begging to come back in a couple weeks, or we'll be begging him either way.
So what do you have for us this week, Napoleon?
Well, let's start with some items from the community, and then a couple of newsworthy items that may fit.
Okay, pick up the cues. Let's get going.
All right. First of all, this week we saw some confusion in regards to sellers who have had a listing removed or account restrictions or suspensions. Consistent feedback was provided that communication from eBay regarding these removals, restrictions, or suspensions is not clear, and that the resources for sellers to educate themselves is frequently insufficient.
Sounds like we've got an opportunity here to improve our communications with sellers.
Yes. And we pass along feedback to the appropriate teams to improve the resources available to sellers, particularly for specific items and categories.
I saw there was some volume around TurboLister as well. What's up with that, Doug?
Yes. Retirement of TurboLister in our European seller communities drove discussion about the future of TurboLister, Seller Hub, and the next steps sellers should take. Members want to know how much advance notice eBay will provide before the full retirement of TurboLister on the U.S. site.
Well, there it is.
Well, there we go. Sellers are seeking third-party tools to TurboLister and frustrated that it's too useful to go away.
Well, we've passed this feedback on, along with the feedback that members are willing to pay monthly for TurboLister and that we should communicate our current plans for the tool.
Hey, Griff, what tools are available as alternatives to TurboLister?
Well,
Let me think.
Sellers can find more info in our Seller Center as well as a whole list of third-party listing tools. You can get there by going to the Seller Center at the bottom of any eBay page, and you can see the link in this episode transcript as well.
Sellers can also go to our App Center at applications.ebay.com to see verified third-party apps directly inside of my eBay that could help out.
Audrey, we saw some interesting conversations on Facebook this week as well.
That's right. Sellers continue to have concerns about the shipping rate increases and are trading tips and advice, asking eBay to try and help negotiate better rates. I know for now we'll continue to follow this issue closely and keep sellers updated.
There was positive sentiment over seller-initiated offers.
Yes, sellers are very excited about seller-initiated offers. Now, seller-initiated offers is kind of an internal term. The external term is make offers to buyers. Yes. Those that are not in the program want in, and there's lots of pent-up demand and discussion about how to use the feature and how to tell if an item was sold via an initiated offer.
Oh, by the way, just a reminder, here's how seller-initiated offers work. There are two features on Seller Hub. The first one is edit price, quantity, and custom labels, and the second one is make offers to watchers. Now, for edit price, quantity, and custom labels, we're rolling out this feature, which will allow you to edit price, quantity, and custom labels for all listings right from the active listings page. We're also rolling out make offers to watchers. If you're in our test group, select offers to watchers on your active listing page, and you'll see all of your eligible listings. After you make an offer, you'll see offer sent next to the listing.
Sellers that have make offers to buyers seem to be loving it.
Yeah.
What else do you have, Doug?
A couple of quick news items, Audrey. And we all know how charity is a part of eBay's DNA.
We did a cool tie-in with the Grammys via eBay for Charity. I think we do that a lot. Fans can bid on meet and greet with musician Shawn Mendes.
There are also nearly 100 additional auction items donated by Grammy nominees and winners like Cardi B, Miley Cyrus, Post Malone, Khalid, John Legend, Harry Styles, Sam Smith, Bruno Mars, my favorite. Hi, Bruno. How you doing?
She's got the hots for Bruno.
Yes. And Fleetwood Mac.
I remember them. You can go your own way. Go your own way. You can call it. We're going to get sued.
Yeah, you better stop right there.
Royalty violations. Speaking of eBay for Charity, did you know, Griff and Audrey, that eBay set a record-breaking year on our charity platform with nearly $102 million raised for nonprofits in 2018?
Wow.
Woohoo! With a goal of raising $1 billion for charity by 2020. Didn't we also announce the next retail revival city?
Yes. That's a program I love being involved in, unless I get snowed in, which happened once.
In Temecula?
Ohio.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I was so excited that it was snowing until the morning I had to leave.
Right. Yikes.
Greensboro, North Carolina becomes the fifth city to join the Retail Revival program, which partners with local businesses.
As a reminder, Retail Revival is a 12-month program for local small business owners looking to leverage eBay's global marketplace to reach new customers around the world.
Is that it yet, by the way? We seem to be running a bit long on this segment.
Well, I don't want to get into trouble.
It's never stopped you before.
One more snippet fits.
Go on.
I think I should have my name taken off this segment.
Too late.
Well, I heard this week that a certain e-commerce site is launching its own shopping channel to promote products on its platform.
How novel. We've been doing that for years. But we promote sellers and selling.
And we don't compete with our sellers.
You guys, we have to be aware of the censors.
Oh. Audrey, that's all the news that fits this week. Thanks to you and Griff for having me. And hi, Mom.
All right. Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it. Coming up next, the main story.
Welcome to the main story. The theme of today's show is how to run your eBay business more efficiently. One way to do that is to use what we call third-party tool providers. They create tools for managing your business on eBay and other channels. Third-party tools can do many things. They can manage your inventory, they can manage and edit listings, they can manage shipping and fulfillment, and a lot more. They often have capabilities beyond what eBay provides and can help you grow your business by making it more efficient. And of course, that's the theme for this week, driving efficiencies. Today, we're going to learn about a few ways that you can leverage third-party tool providers. We're going to chat first with Eric Simon. He's the VP of Marketing and Business Development at Solid Commerce. We're going to talk about listing and inventory and listing management. Then we'll bring in Jason Hara. He's the CEO and founder of Seller Active, and he's going to talk with us about market data, insights, and repricing. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having us.
Well, let's start with the basics. Why might a seller want to use a third party for listing and inventory management? How can it help their business?
Well, when businesses reach a certain size, managing listings can be very challenging. This is especially true if you have hundreds and potentially even thousands of products. So using listing tools such as those offered by a company like Solid Commerce can really help you with a number of things. For example, listing tools can help you create and launch listings in bulk. So our tool, for example, enables sellers to launch hundreds, thousands, even potentially tens of thousands of listings in one full swoop. And being able to do so enables you to save a lot of time and to sell faster. And let's remember, if you can list more quickly, you can sell more quickly. You know, I always like to say to people, you wouldn't walk from New York to California, you take a plane. It's going to get you there much more quickly. It's not going to get you there in 90 seconds, but it's certainly a lot more efficient than walking. Using listing tools is very much the same kind of thing. It's going to dramatically accelerate your ability to get those products up on eBay, to get them up on eBay in bulk, and to start selling, and to start selling more quickly.
So, Eric, can platforms like Solid Commerce make it actually easier to list products? This is a big question with eBay sellers, because data entry is just, it's the most time-consuming thing, probably next to taking photos, and the least they have to do, the better. So how does it help?
One of the benefits of using a platform like Solid Commerce is that you can take hundreds and even thousands and potentially even tens of thousands of products, and you could list them in bulk. And you can do so in a way that a lot of your prices, your rules, your descriptions, etc., all of that is uploaded in one full swoop. And although eBay does have things like File Exchange, which are certainly great, the more SKUs you have, the more more complexity, the more moving parts you have in your business, that's really where listing tools like Solid Commerce are going to bring efficiencies to your operation. Not only on eBay, but across your, between eBay and your website and between eBay and your other channels.
Eric, why is inventory so tough to manage? And what are some of the benefits of good inventory management?
Well, it's certainly hard to sync inventory across different platforms, whether it's between eBay and your Shopify page or eBay and your BigCommerce site. The ability to sync inventory, the same number of widgets across multiple channels, that in itself is a challenge. And a third-party platform like Solid Commerce can really bring automation and centralization to that challenge and make things much easier. Number two, knowing your inventory levels, knowing when to reorder is a very, very big issue in the world of e-commerce. You never want a situation where you have too much products on hand, but you also don't want a situation where you have too few products on hand. So one of the reasons you want proper inventory management is you need to have a big picture of how many widgets are in your garage and how many widgets in your warehouse so you can plan and run your business. Inventory management is crucial for that sort of thing.
It can help you avoid stockouts, for example.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like to say that one of the big sins of bad inventory management is either having too much inventory or too little inventory. You never want a situation where orders come in and you literally don't have widgets to ship. That's clearly a disaster. You also don't want a situation where you have 100 widgets in your garage or in your warehouse and only 3 or 4 orders are coming in and you have too much product on hand. So inventory management is really what you need, not only to manage your inventory between different channels, i.e. between eBay and your website, but inventory management is something you need so you can simply run your business and plan your business.
So earlier you and I were chatting and you said something really interesting about expanding the footprint of your inventory without buying more inventory. Now that's intriguing. Can you explain that a little bit better?
Good inventory management should enable you to take one widget and have that one widget show up both on eBay and on your website, whether it's a Shopify website or a BigCommerce website. So in that scenario, you're not actually investing in two widgets, but you can economize and have the same product show up multiple places. Now let's say we take that scenario and we expand it to 100 SKUs or 500 SKUs or 1,000 SKUs. Well, clearly in a scenario like that, you know, let's say you have 1,000 SKUs, you don't want to have to buy 2 or 3 of everything. So some things are assigned to eBay and other things to your website. Well, great inventory management enables you to take a limited number of SKUs or a limited number of products and assign those products and multiply those products across different channels.
So I'm going to take a moment and let you tell us what Solid Commerce, which is your company, does to help with good inventory management.
Well, one of the things that Solid Commerce offers that I think is a really cool widget for sellers is the ability to create virtual kits and bundles. And let me explain what I mean by that. Let's pretend you're selling an individual baseball and you're selling an individual baseball bat. The baseball is SKU number 1. The baseball bat is SKU number 2. Solid Commerce actually enables you to create virtual new products. So you could create a combination baseball plus baseball bat. That becomes SKU number 3. Then you can create a bundle of 3 baseballs. That's SKU number 4. Then you can create another one of 2 baseballs and 2 bats. That's SKU number 5. Now, in reality, you've never actually combined all of these different products in your warehouse. You simply have 2 products, 1 baseball, 1 baseball bat. But with virtual kits and bundles, a seller can literally create more listings and search results, which obviously is a driver of sales. They can create greater product diversity, also a driver of sales, mm-hmm. and they've never actually created new products. And by the way, they never even have to physically bundle those products in the warehouse. Using virtual kits and bundles enables you to sell the baseball and the baseball bat either in combo or individually or in any combination you want. The actual quantities on hand of your various baseballs and of your baseball bats are all synced up. So you're still selling the baseballs individually. You're still selling the bats individually. You're selling various combinations and bundles of the two. And the inventory on hand, whether it's a virtual combination or an individual product singly, all of that is tracked and maintained through proper inventory management software. And again, if you have 1 or 2 products, maybe you could do this without software. If you have 50 SKUs, if you have 100 SKUs, there's no possible way any person, no matter how much of a genius that person is going to be able to do this without the automation and the centralization and the intelligence that the software brings you.
Let's talk a little bit about a topic that a lot of sellers are interested in, and that's a dropshippers. How can a third-party platform help sellers work with dropshippers? And I want to remind our sellers here that dropshipping from a manufacturer or provider that you have a purchasing relationship with, that's okay. But fulfilling your orders by ordering from another marketplace is not. Let's talk about dropshipping and your products.
I'm really happy you asked about dropshipping because I think this is one of the most exciting ways sellers, particularly small and mid-sized sellers, can expand their inventory footprint without buying any more inventory. At Solid Commerce, we have some sellers who are working with, let's say, 5 or 10 different dropshippers. They are doing hundreds of thousands of dollars of sales a year, and they don't have a single piece of inventory on hand. The way this works is that a platform like Solid Commerce enables a merchant to have live inventory feeds directly from a manufacturer. The pictures, the descriptions, the prices of those products flow into Solid Commerce. Solid Commerce republishes that onto eBay using certain rules that the merchant might have created. When the product is sold, Solid Commerce grabs that order from eBay, sends that order to the manufacturer. The manufacturer ships the order directly to the customer. The manufacturer passes the shipping tracking number back to Solid Commerce. Solid Commerce grabs that tracking number from the manufacturer, and we post it back to eBay. At the end of the day, this means the merchant has sold a product that they never had to buy in the first place. This means the consumer from eBay has bought a product. As far as they know, they bought the product directly from the merchant. Everybody is happy, and using a scenario like this, a merchant can literally offer thousands, even tens of thousands of products. They've never had to warehouse anything. They've never had to pre-purchase anything. They've never had to buy anything. And a platform like Solid Commerce, acting, I'm going to say, like an intelligent traffic cop, automates this entire process.
When we talked about sellers, there's different types of sellers. Big sellers, there's small sellers, sellers of one-of-a-kind items, sellers that have SKUs. What kind of seller is a product like Solid Commerce best for?
We have sellers that on the small end are literally mom and pop businesses that might be running, you know, out of their garage. And we've got sellers that are much larger. The issue, if you want to use a platform like Solid Commerce, is not so much size. It's the following. If you're on eBay and you also want to sell on your website, like a Shopify website or a BigCommerce website, you're then in the multi-channel business. And a scenario like that, a platform that centralizes, a platform like Solid Commerce, becomes really crucial. So I would say if you're on 2 or more channels, you need a platform like Solid Commerce. And if you're only on an eBay and you want to expand to your website, that's also a scenario where you're going to get multi-channel and you're going to need the benefits and the centralization that come from a platform like Solid Commerce.
What if I only have so much inventory? I mean, I'm not looking to expand the inventory I have.
We have some customers who only have 50 SKUs or 100 SKUs, but here's an example of something we offer that you're not going to get potentially from an eBay. Solid Commerce actually knows the cost of your item, how much it actually cost you to pay for that item. And we have a little widget in our platform where you can define what your profit margin is. You can define it by a percentage amount. You could say, I want to make 20% on this. You can define it by a fixed dollar amount. You could say, I want to make $5 or $10. And you can define it as a combination of both. You can say, I want to make 20% plus $10, which is my shipping costs.
Oh, I love this.
And you can add those rules into your products for eBay. This means that as you're bringing in products on eBay, your rules are already set.
Lots of e-commerce management tools out there. And how should a seller evaluate them as they shop? I mean, there are different tools for different needs, and I think it can be confusing for sellers. So what advice would you give them in evaluating and comparing?
I think the first thing sellers need to ask themselves is, what are the main challenges I'm facing? Is it challenges around syncing inventory between my eBay store and my Shopify store? Is the challenge one in which they want some automation of shipping built in? Solid Commerce offers that as well. Mm-hmm. Is the challenge one in which they want to sync their inventory levels between different channels? That's something Solid Commerce offers also. So I think the two questions I always say to people when they're evaluating different platforms out there is, number one, what are the inefficiencies in your business where you feel the ability to centralize and automate could make your life easier? And the second thing I say to people is, when you're talking to a platform provider, ask what cool widgets they have that you might not have thought of. So for example, the ability to have your prices change synced with the cost of sale A lot of merchants are unaware that that feature even exists. The ability to have automatic relationships, automatic data syncing with your dropshippers, that's something a lot of people don't even realize that exists. One of the things Solid Commerce also does for dropshipping scenarios is that we know the cost of goods for your dropshipping. So because Solid Commerce enables you to add in rules about what you want your price on eBay to be, literally if you have 100 or 1,000 products that you're selling that are being fulfilled by a manufacturer, Solid Commerce can again bring levels of automation to your business that you might not even know exist.
Thanks, Eric. That's great advice. And I want our sellers to remember that if you're looking to grow your business, good listing and inventory management can really help you scale without having to necessarily hire. And as we're keeping with the theme of the show, it can help increase the efficiency of your business. Eric, where can sellers learn more about Solid Commerce?
Well, we've created a special offer for folks listening to this podcast, and they can go to solidcommerce.com/eBay500, and we're actually offering $500 off our platform for any listener who comes to our site from this podcast. So just to say the website again, it's solidcommerce.com/eBay500.
Eric, thank you. This has been great.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Eric Simon, Vice President of Marketing and Business Development at Solid Commerce. Coming up next, we'll explore another third-party provider's tools for assisting with dynamic repricing of live listings. Don't go away. Now I'd like to welcome Jason Hara. He's the CEO and founder of SellerActive. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, your expertise is in market data and repricing, and we'd like to dive into both of those topics. Let's start with market data. That's also known as understanding the market for your items. How can sellers use market data to inform their selling strategies?
Well, there's a lot of ways. I've got a couple of examples I'm prepared to talk about. I do believe that the market data, or we call it competitive offer data, is the most important data for a seller to leverage when making purchasing decisions. It's come up, in my experience, as the best way to gauge demand online, and you can get it per channel. You can get it real time. And I have a couple examples that I could go through with you guys.
Sure.
So in textbooks, which is kind of my former life, we actually had two different flavors of market data. We had market data that would tell us what the sales demand would be during a certain week of the year for a textbook, which is a highly seasonal industry with back to school season. And then we had market data for buying the books from students. In textbooks, you know, these are commodities and they are very easy to actually sell because of the forced purchase nature of them. But acquiring them is actually really hard. You have to pay more than the bookstore, you have to pay more than exchange. So we would have bots and leverage other software to gather online buyback prices. We call them buyback prices or trade-in prices, and then model that against sales prices and then make determinations, you know, in real time, how much we want to pay for a product given our labor costs and shipping expenses. You can take that same example into almost any product vertical. I would say, with the exception being collectibles, some of these things that are also quite rare or don't move fast enough for there to be a lengthy amount of data, like I'd say rare baseball cards. Vehicles are hard to do that way. But every other product vertical that I've come across can leverage market data to make better buying decisions and selling decisions.
Jason, have you or one of your customers uncovered a surprising insight about market and demand that led them to make a pivot in their business?
Yeah, there's a couple I can think of. So early on in our early days of SellerActive, we were actually working with an eBay seller who was big into the Storage Wars craze, where he would go in and pay for a unit and take whatever was he could find, sell it on eBay. And he acquired quite a bit of inventory, a lot of media, so a lot of books, movies, music. And he'd come to us with no technology background, no software, and was interested in using our repricing, which fully powered by market data. And after turning on our repricing, he sold all of his inventory in about 2 months. He sold well into the six figures worth of his stock and actually went out of business because he didn't have any other backup supply. He had no other, you know, really solid distribution channel for that stuff. It's kind of hit or miss with Storage Wars. So that was a funny one. I remember him thinking, oh man, you guys did a great job. And now I'm out of business until I can find any more products.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Good problem to have, I guess, but we never saw him come back after he sold his inventory. I don't think he could acquire enough product.
I hope it worked out for him eventually. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about repricing. Some of our audience may not know about repricing, so can you tell us what it is and why would an online seller want to access anything called repricing?
So repricing is, as I define it, is the act of making a pricing decision based off of the market data. And market data comes in two flavors. I would say there's direct competition market data and indirect competition market data. The difference being direct competition is offers on the same exact UPC or ISBN or GTIN. indirect would be maybe a branded product that has no direct competition, but has indirect competition via search. So say a black cell phone case, right? So repricing can come in many different flavors, but the most common flavor is on direct competition, where price is going to win out. The various channels out there, usually always we're looking at price as a heavy, heavy influence over search results. Price is going to win out on most channels most of the time because it's a major factor in the buying decision of the consumer. So repricing will actually keep your price at a pre-configured level, but it will also reprice it automatically if a competition comes in and tries to beat you on just price or just shipping price. It can take many different inputs customizable to your business, your dynamic costs, the site fees listed on a channel, or listing fees on a channel, shipping costs. You can put all those into a algorithm and basically spit out a recommended price where you're still covered for profit margin, but you're not losing visibility on, say, the buy box.
What kind of seller is this ideal for? And we're talking about your service and your products at Seller Active. Mm-hmm. What categories tend to use things like repricers?
Anything that's a commodity. I'd say media is an easy answer there, right? Anything that's going to, you're going to find the same book on any channel, the same music on any channel.
Sure.
So commodities are easy, probably the easiest vertical. Apparel actually can be repriced. People searching for a, you know, blue dress, probably a bad example, sure. But there is competition, right, on blue dresses. Really anything with competition, which sounds like a cop-out answer because everything has competition.
That's true.
But the things that tend to move quickly and have a lot of demand will be able to leverage repricing the best. The things that are slower movers can still leverage pricing. The only categories that we've kind of steer clear of with automation are going to be collectibles or, you know, rare goods.
And then, it's hard to categorize. I mean, it's hard to actually do price comparison.
Yes. And a lot of those price fluctuates depending on the sentimental value.
Sure, of course. You know, one of the biggest fears that sellers have about repricing is this this concept of racing to the bottom. In your view, does repricing just create that race to the bottom? And if so, how can sellers use a repricer without eating away at all their margins? I mean, you can get mm-hmm. pencil thin there.
Yeah, in my experience, that's definitely the top concern, this race to the bottom concept. But in my opinion, and I'm a big data guy, the race is already on. So either you're going to be in the race or you're going to be sitting on the sidelines. It does depend on your strategy. You need to have a strategic advantage in your acquisition or your logistics or something. Because if you do have direct competition and you don't have a repricer, I've not found a strategy that works because everybody else has one.
Right.
It's impossible. So we do get customers who come on who manually try and change their prices, you know, every day. And they figure this out, that as soon as they have direct competition, it's a different ballgame. The race to the bottom, though, I think can be real. You have to have margin to play this game.
Yeah.
You can't. I don't think drop shipping models will last many years without some strategic advantage. You have to find something that nobody else is selling and then drop ship it. But
sure.
As soon as other folks start drop shipping the same products, you're in this race. But find a repricer that also prices up. There's a lot of tricks to this game. There's dynamic settings that allow you to, you know, be smart about how you price. It's not a fixed penny every time, and we can take different approaches there. But also, when you hit the floor price, or you and a competitor are racing to the bottom, so to speak, the best repricers will then bump you back up to what's called a fallback price. And what happens is the other bots chase you back up again. If they're bad bots, they'll stay really low. The competitor will sell out and get a lot less profit, and then you'll fall back to being the number one position. But the good bots will actually come back up again because there's margin there. And then what happens is you kind of reset all over again. The visibility, you're still vying for that number one spot, so you still get hours or days worth of visibility back and forth again before you race to the bottom. But it basically just resets. It's constantly just going up and down. So it's not like folks are really stuck at the bottom. There's a lot of ways to make that more of a dynamic approach where you're coming back up again, and then you're back in the, you know, first position, and you're taking bot race back to the bottom. There's also strategies out there that I've seen work really well where you purposely race to the bottom and then you back out and let your sellers sell their product at a much lower price.
Of course. Are there any other repricing strategies sellers may want to consider? And I want to give you a chance to also talk about the solutions that Seller Active will provide to sellers who are looking for some repricing guidance.
Absolutely. So yeah, repricing is an evolution. So there's always going to be, I think, new strategies coming out. But there are four strategies we built into the product that we find cover most use cases. Most popular strategy is what we call target rank. So you will set a rank, and 95% of our customers pick rank one. So it's basically, you know, give me the lowest price, and it's price plus shipping, including their fees as a floor. And we will just keep your products priced at your target rank, which, like I said, I'd recommend be one, depending on the vertical. You might decide to say, I want to go two or three because there's folks in the space that you want to sell out. But Target Rank is the most popular one for eBay. There is velocity pricing, which is a newer to the space. Velocity pricing is set up to solve for a velocity of orders. So you would come to Seller Active and say, I want to sell 100 of these widgets in the next 30 days. And it helps to be realistic. You can't sell 100 widgets in an hour. And if you did that, then we would drop your prices pretty low. Mm. The algorithm will tinker, basically, scientifically, with your prices, trying to solve for an order velocity of your choosing. So we will lower prices until orders are coming in. As orders come in, we'll measure them against the schedule. And if you're selling too quickly, we'll raise prices. We'll test the price elasticity of the channel. It's really good for folks who maybe are overstocked and really don't either need to blow something out, but they don't know what to set the price on, or they have no direct competition. They have nothing to price against head-to-head. So it's perfect for sellers with indirect competition or unsure of the market price and want to test a couple different options. The other strategy is also a price mirroring. So price mirroring will take the output of our repricing algorithm on one channel, say a channel has a buy box, and it will mirror it to eBay in near real time. That's a really exciting one, I would say, for most sellers because there's more competition on some other channels for different verticals, and you can leverage our repricer for those channels where the buy box is the most important by far factor in making a sale, and the price that comes out of it can be sent directly over to eBay with modifications, percentage or dollar amounts, up or down, and it's much, much faster than having to pull eBay.
I want to thank you for coming by, Jason.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So where can sellers learn more?
They can go to our website, selleractive.com. If you come to our site and call us, chat, email and mention the podcast, we'll give you 2 months free of our service. It runs from $79 a month all the way up into the thousands. We don't care. All sellers of all sizes, come talk to us, mention the podcast. We'll put the promo code in. You'll get 2 months for free and hopefully reprice the heck out of your products for you.
Thanks again, Jason. We've been speaking with Jason Hara. He's from Seller Active, and we've been talking about how third-party tools like Seller Active can make your eBay business more efficient. Up next, we'll visit Inside eBay.
I'm Audrey Tracy, and welcome to the Inside eBay segment. Today, we're chatting with Alyssa Cutright, VP of Global Payments. Welcome, Alyssa.
Thank you.
All right. This is your first time on the podcast. Thanks for joining us. We've had Vikas and Kiala on before, but we're super excited to have the lady leading one of eBay's top global initiatives come and give us the first update for 2019. So first, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your role at eBay and why you're so passionate about eBay's focus on managing payments for our marketplace.
Thanks, Audrey. So I've been at eBay for just about 2.5 years now. And in addition to looking after our strategy and payments, I also manage our billing and our risk areas. And I'm super excited to be here. It's really rare that you have the opportunity to drive such impact and change in our efforts around payments. And it really all comes back to our customers and their experiences and the opportunity we have to make things simpler, easier, and just better for both our buyers and sellers.
When we talk about managing payments, why is it so important that we make this change to our marketplace?
Yeah, so if you think about our current model or our previous model that we've been operating in for many years, it just simply doesn't give us the flexibility and control over how transactions operate in our system. And in our future state, we will have full control over the experience for both our buyers and our sellers. So to simplify things for our sellers, and then when we look at our buyers, it gives them choice to pay the way they want to pay. And that gives more buyers the option to come into our platform and pay in a way that is familiar for them. And for sellers, that can mean that they're going to see buyers they may have not seen in the past. And so all the way around, it's more simplified, it's streamlined, and it's simply easier as we look to the future, even for new ways to shop and the way marketplaces may evolve in the future. It gives us tremendous flexibility.
Since January 31 last year when we announced, what has happened so far in our multi-year journey?
So as we shared just about a year ago, this was going to be a multi-year journey for us. And in September, a select group of sellers in the U.S. were invited to the initial rollout of the program. And we're really pleased with the results that we are seeing. We've learned a lot from our sellers in the last few months, and we're taking their feedback into account, iterating and improving the experience as we go. So an example of this would be partial refunds. We've quickly included it in our roadmap as we've heard from you that it's important for your business. And in addition, we know that allowing your buyers to pay with PayPal is also an important feature that we need to introduce, and we are well on track to bring that out later this summer. And as we said before, it's a phased rollout over the next few years. We're moving as quickly as possible to complete this process within the parameters of our operating agreement with PayPal, which remains in place through mid-2020.
And how successful has it been?
So it's been great. We've had a lot of good feedback, and the dialogue has been really wonderful with our seller community thus far. We've intermediated over $143 million so far in payments, which translates into roughly $1.2 million in savings for our sellers. And on the power of introducing a new form of payment, in just the short period of time we've had Apple Pay up on the site, we are already seeing 12% of eligible transactions on iOS devices move to Apple. So it really shows how powerful it is to provide buyers a choice in the way that they pay. And so we're excited to continue to bring new options to the buy base, which ultimately translates into more sales for our sellers.
And what's ahead for 2019?
So in 2019, we're going to add more of those payment options. As we said, we know it's important to give our buyers choice. So we've talked about PayPal, and we will look at other relevant forms of payment that may be of interest to our buyer base. And then we're going to continue to expand our capabilities around our global shipping program, which we know many of you participate in. We're going to improve the experience around partial refunds and continue to listen to your feedback and incorporate that into our roadmap as we move through 2019 and into 2020.
I have to say, I've been really impressed with how the payments initiative has taken in so much seller feedback. It's been really great.
Yeah, it's been a cornerstone of our strategy from the beginning, and we wanted to do this differently. We knew this was going to be a multi-year journey, and it was going to be different. And we want to make sure that we keep that dialogue up, and we continue to hear from you all through the journey.
And as we wrap up, any last comments for our seller community?
Yeah, so to build on that, keep the feedback coming. It is critical to us. First and foremost, to our strategy is the experience for our buyers and sellers. And the seller community is really important in helping us craft the right experience for the sellers as well as for our buyers on the platform. And when you're invited, join us. It's really important to continue to get more types of sellers in different verticals and that have different business models onto the program that can provide us feedback in the way that they experience. Stay up to date on what we're up to on the Seller Center, which you can find at ebay.com/payments. And then finally, I would just say, trust in the process. We have our best and brightest on this. This is a top priority for eBay, and we are really committed to making this a really great experience for our buyers and sellers, and we want to continue to hear from you all.
That's great. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thank you.
We've shared some really great resources today to easily get your inventory onto eBay. And now we want to talk with an in-house expert, Shefali Singla, about promoting those items efficiently on the site. Shefali, remind us very quickly what promoted listings are and why sellers should use it.
Hi, everyone. This is Shefali, and I'm really excited to be speaking about promoted listings. It is an advertising service that allows you to gain more visibility, and the service promotes your listing in prominent places across eBay, amplifying the visibility of your listings to more buyers on the site and thus improving the likelihood of sales.
We've been talking about efficiencies today. In fact, that's the theme of this week's podcast. So how do you use promoted listings more efficiently? I mean, you can just choose any listings, but is that a good strategy?
I'm going to recommend a couple of different steps. Essentially, it takes three steps to start using promoted listings. So it starts with how to select the right listings. And what I would recommend is using our recommended items option when selecting listings to promote. How you get there is by clicking on Get Promoted Listings or ebay.com/get-promoted-listings. And when you start creating a campaign, you will see that option on the left navigation bar. And that is a suggestion that we think the set of listings that you should consider promoting first, because they might benefit most from the promoted listing service based on the marketplace's trends that we have monitored, based on various different elements and factors that we have determined. Other strategies that I find many other sellers using are particularly around promoting newly listed items so that they can generate more traffic towards us.
I see that, yeah.
Or promoting their bestsellers to increase sales velocity on already popular items. Or lastly, a lot of sellers think about, are my items ranking well in search? And how you think about that is, are my items in the top five searches on eBay? If they're not, you might consider promoting them on eBay and boosting them up in search results so that they can become part of the buyer consideration.
So if I've got a lot of items in a category that's just really high inventory, there's lots of items. And even though I'm doing everything right, it's just hard to compete in ranking with all the other thousands and thousands of listings that are similar in a search result. Promoting that item might give me the boost I need.
And then here's a couple more strategies around how to select ad rate, because that is the next option you need to think about. What is my cost going to be? What is it going to take to get these listings to sell? Keep in mind that with promoted listing, you only sell the item when the buyer clicks on the ad and then purchases that same item within 30 days. If any other actions happen during that time, we will not charge you for the clicks. Typically, I recommend that if you have low competition or you're not ranking well in best match, which is within the first top five results, I'd recommend you actually consider keeping a low ad rate. But if you have high competition and low margins, I would suggest using the trending ad rate that we show in our various tools. And the third portion is, if you have high competition and high margin, consider going 0.5% to 1% more than the trending rate. So you're in the group of people with the higher likelihood of showing. And that gives you a bit of an edge in terms of selecting the ad rate that is most optimal for you.
Now, when we say trend rate, that's based on eBay data. So we're not just making this up.
No, this is an average ad rate that we have seen across sellers that are promoting similar items like yours. And here's another advanced tips for maximum efficiency. So if you're on your active listings page in Seller Hub, click on more than one listing to promote, and then click on Sell It Faster. You'll see an option to automatically stay above trending rate based on a percentage that you choose. So you could basically say, I want to always stay above my trending rate by 0.5%, and it would automatically keep your listing at that level of optimization at all time.
So you don't have to go in and make the changes.
You don't have to check in anytime. Plus, if you're worried that you might overspend, you can actually even set up a max cap so you never exceed a certain percentage. And so here's an example. You may say, I want my item to stay 0.5% above the trending rate, but never exceed 10%. And you could set that, and it's all automatic, and you never have to touch it.
I love it. These are great efficiency tips. So are these features, these new features, the Sell It Faster, are these available to all sellers? How's that working?
It's working great. In fact, we have just expanded promoted listing service to all sellers in good standing, whether you have a store or not, which means if you're above standard or you're a new seller and you don't have a store, you can now take advantage of promoted listings and see all of this option within your Seller Hub experience. So make sure to take advantage of it this season.
I know I'm going to. I didn't know about this, so I have to rush home tonight and take a look to see which of my slow listings I'm going to promote. Shefali, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
We've been speaking with Shefali Singla, and she's been telling us how we can use promoted listings to help drive efficiency both in our business and hopefully in our sales. Coming up next, it's the end of the show. And that's a wrap for us.
Another show in the can. Your eBay selling should be just a little less inefficient now that you've listened to this episode.
And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode with stories and topics tailored to your needs as an eBay seller.
That's right, Griff. You don't want to miss it, especially if you like to stay updated on what's happening in the world of eBay selling.
Oh, you know, Audrey, it can be so hard staying updated these days. What with all the information and misinformation that's out there on the interwebs, we hope our show helps guide you towards the happy land of seller best practices.
Happy land of seller best practices?
Mm-hmm.
Are you on drugs?
Don't worry, it's all legal. It's called Updatedhaul. It helps the seller stay updated no matter what the season. Take two, maybe three update tablets every year to stay updated.
Enough with the hints.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, right.
We got you down dates. We got you updates right here on Selling on eBay.
Just stop, please. Just stop.
Now is the winter update of our discontent.
Even Shakespeare isn't safe from your wretched puns.
If you're curious about what we're talking about, well, why not ask a question?
Great pivot, Griff.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to join the fun here on Selling on eBay, you can be a part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Are you an introvert? Does public speaking give you the willies? Would you rather eat worms than hear your own voice on the air?
Delicious.
You do have a lovely voice, by the way.
Same for you.
Well, just for you, we have our very own email address where you can send your question if you prefer. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Yeah, I have some questions too.
Okay.
Hey, seller.
Uh-oh.
Cooped up at home, maybe snowed in, or worse, iced in. Have you been winterized for so long now that you forget what the outside world looks like? Kind of like being tied to the bed a la Misery? Have you given up all hope that spring will return?
then you should be attending a local eBay seller meetup in your area. What's wrong with you? At seller meetups, sellers share tips and stories and insights and even a little commiseration. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups. Oh, and by the way, Audrey.
Uh-oh.
So every week, if we have one, we're going to announce the latest new seller meetup that's been added to our roster at ebay.com/meetups. And this week we have a brand new group in San Antonio. So San Antonio, welcome to the meetups page.
Wow. Way to go, San Antonio.
If you're in the San Antonio area, look up this meetup.
You're going to want to go to it.
You're going to have a great time.
Okay. And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. You want to go to facebook.com/eBay for Business.
Oh, you look so good on that live broadcast.
Please stop.
It's time to roll the Selling on eBay podcast crew credits, babe.
You got it. Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Co-host, that's you, Griff.
Me. Scriptwriter and Co-host and Top Girl, Audrey, that's you.
That's me.
Audrey Tracy. Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Not bad.
You think they got the hints?
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to update them next week.
Update, 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 update.